All right, folks. Good afternoon and welcome to High Point Bible Study. My name is Lee Shaw. I'm the campus pastor of our downtown campus of Houston's First Baptist Church. And welcome on this great hump day in the great space city. And it's sweaty in the great space city, isn't it? Let me pray for us really quick and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in this room. Thank you for this food. May it nourish our bodies as your Holy Spirit nourishes our souls. And we pray that the word that is preached from you will nourish everybody's spirits today. Speak through me. Let my flesh get out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you guys know, our city and our nation and our world is growing darker and darker. There's so much violence. There's still racism today. There is rape, there are these kidnappings going on, and Christians, Jesus followers, have to shine brighter and brighter in our city, in our nation, and in our world. And so here at our downtown church, we've been going through a series called Bright Lights, Big City, and today I'm going to give you a short summary with a lot of application points, kind of a mashup of my sermons from the last couple of months. Three basic elements we need to shine as bright lights in our big city are truth and power and light. Truth in the city, power in the city, and light in the city. And we're going to go through these three really quickly today. First, truth in the city. And the truth is God's living and universal holy word, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There's a lot said about sourcing these days. A lot of restaurants are going to this local sourcing concept. And of course, companies, if you work in the supply chain or consulting industry, as you're interested in cutting away the middleman. Or perhaps you are the middleman today, so you're trying to not let those consultants into your company to cut those middlemen. Well, researchers at Texas A&M University, okay, I knew there were Aggies here, you guys have come up with a technological breakthrough of the milk supply chain. In order to cut all the middlemen, the agricultural science, engineering, and business departments at Texas A&M University got together and collaborated to devise this new business idea. And it's the cow himself saying, milk for sale, low prices, no middlemen. There's the concept, I'll buy some. And it's organic, right? It's organic and trade-free and all that, right? Hopefully. Trade-free is a serious issue, so be praying for that. But the scripture says that all scripture is inspired. I kind of like the older translations, Bible translations, that says that all scripture is God-breathed. And in fact, scripture is all God-breathed. It's from that Latin word inspirare, which means to permeate or to penetrate, to infuse. The word of God, whether you read it digitally or on paper or just on your handouts, it's infused and penetrated and permeated by God himself in his spirit. That Latin word spirare is used to form another English word that we say a lot, we at least experience a lot here in Houston in the summer, and that is to perspire. So remember that, as we perspire, as we sweat, as we're permeated with this salty fluid, that the word of God is inspired, all breathed, permeated, inspired, penetrated, infused by God himself. The status of the Bible in America is sad news today, unfortunately. We have some statistics from the American Bible Society. 55% of all those living in America have never read the Bible. That's staggering. That's surprising to me. 47% see no difference among the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon. If you're here today from other faiths, we certainly respect you and your right to choose a religion and to have your own opinions. But I think you would also disagree, or you would also not like it, that people think the Book of Mormon, the Bible, the Quran, there's no distinguished factors. There's no differences. 14 million of U.S. adults no longer identify themselves as Christian, and then one out of five young adults claim no religious affiliation or no spiritual affiliation at all in America. We've got to focus on the truth in the city, and that is God's word. It says that the scriptures are profitable or useful or beneficial for training, rebuking, correcting, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. And I would suggest we personify those four words so that the Bible, we say the Bible is the teacher of truth. The Bible is the rebuker of our rebellion. That word rebuke is kind of a hard word to take in. The dictionary says it's to rebuke is to express sharp, stern disapproval of, or to call out. The Bible calls us out on our rebellion, on our ignorance, for our own good, and certainly to glorify Him as well. That word rebuke is so unpopular that when I typed the word rebuker in Microsoft Word in my notes, the red lines showed up on the bottom. Microsoft Word did not know what rebuke meant. It was such a biblical word. Perhaps that's why last month when I typed it in, Microsoft stock went down 11%. The Bible is the corrector of our ignorance as well. We all hate to be corrected. I got corrected a lot by the U.S. mail when the city of Houston sent me notices that I ran the red light. I didn't even know. It's Texas, right? Red light, or like yellow light means whichever cars can go plus one, right? But the red lights caught me. And thank God that we no longer have those red light cameras. But the Bible is the ultimate corrector of our ignorance. And then the Bible is the trainer of our attitudes and strategies and actions. Think of the Bible as our personal trainer. Some personal trainers, you pay $20 or $50. Some personal trainers go up to $300 an hour. The Bible is free as our personal spiritual trainer. So the Bible is our teacher, rebuker, corrector, trainer. It is the ultimate app. It's the killer app, except it won't kill you. It'll save your soul. And I want to give you some tools that are listed on your handouts really quickly. Let me go through them. Some tools that you can use instead of spending tens of thousands of dollars or going to higher education and seminary. Now we have tools at our fingertips that are free through the internet. The Blue Letter Bible you can go to for all kinds of commentaries on the Bible. It's this Bible Scholars Library at your fingertips. If you've ever heard of a Bible scripture from some speaker or from some movie or from some song and you want to look it up and you're not sure of the exact wording of it, there's a Bible fuzzy search now that you can search through biblesearch.americanbible.org. It goes through all the different translations. The Greek and Hebrew interlinear Bibles, if you want to know what the original Greek and Hebrew words are, when you're sitting in church Sunday morning and your preacher is talking about the Greek and Hebrew, you can go to this website and check him or her and make sure that that they're right. Interlinearbible.org. Bible Gateway is a great website as well to see multiple versions together, even in different languages. And I have here this scripture that we've been talking about, about what the Bible is, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And it says that it is our training, it is beneficial for training in righteousness. And that is the Chinese version. And I just want to let you all know very briefly, this is the Chinese word for righteousness. It looks like an unintimidating word, right? It's the character. Notice the top and bottom parts. And if we can go to the next slide. That is a combination of the word lamb on top and I or me on the bottom. It's very interesting. Even Chinese language. This, we are righteous because of the Lamb of God over me or over us. And it's very interesting that the word I or me is also formed by the left and right sides. If you'll go to the next slide. The left side is the word for hand, and the right side is the word for spear. Very egotistical that we would hold a spear in our hand wanting to kill or hurt others. But also, this is how they verified Jesus' death on the cross, that they put the spear by his side to make sure that he was dead. Interesting stuff. Righteousness is the lamb over me. And we'll be discovering other words in the Chinese language and the story of God behind that at a workshop here at our church on November 11th, 6:30 to 8. And you can find more information at houstonsfirst.org. A couple of Bible apps I want to let y'all know about. If you have iPhones or Androids or smartphones, the Daily Audio Bible is what I use. I'm more of an auditory listener, auditory learner, instead of visual. So Daily Audio Bible, it's the Bible in a year, and it talks to you. And then Bible Minded is an app by the American Bible Society. It helps you do scripture memory. Here at our downtown campus, we do a lot of ministry to the homeless community. And with the homeless community, they're usually living outside, and they bear a lot of the elements, like rain. And it'd be hard to carry a Bible out with the rain, even with their backpacks. If they have a Bible in their backpacks and there's a big storm in Houston, the Bible gets wet. So there's these new waterproof Bibles that have come out, thanks to nanotechnology. And just to show you guys, this is iced tea here. It's not just water. I'm going to drink some. Okay, I'm glad we got black carpet here. And there it goes. There it goes. Totally goes away. It's totally waterproof. So if you do ministry to the homeless community or to surfers or outdoors people, let me know. Let me know. Really, if you do ministry to the homeless community, we can get these Bibles from our church to you. If you do ministry to surfers or hunters, you're on your own to buy them. Amazon.com, they're about $30. And then just the New Testament outreach versions on Bibles.com from the American Bible Society is only $8. Also, we give out these audio Bibles, very small. For auditory learners, and they can read the Bible on the screen, and they can hear the Bible all day long. These are coming out also in a solar-powered version, which is very cool. All right, moving on. The second element to shine bright is power in the city, and our power is derived from nothing other than prayer. Prayer. The scripture says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Ephesians 6:18 says to pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. If you have the English Standard Version or the New American Version of the Bible, it says the word all four times. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and requests. Stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. So when do we pray? We pray at all times. What do we pray? We pray all prayers and requests. Why does it say prayer and requests? Prayer itself is really just conversation with God. Billy Graham said the most powerful prayer that you can pray is, God help me. You don't have to use these and thous. You don't have to use big, long sentences or paragraphs. God, help me. Those are the prayers. And we have a model prayer for us from Jesus himself in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 19 to 13. Many of us can recite that, right? But it's really a model for prayer. It involves adoration, submission, thanksgiving, certainly petition, not necessarily reciting word for word, but the modeling of those ingredients. And then requests are those special requests. So our prayers shouldn't be just a laundry list of what do we want, but it should be a laundry list of who God is. God, you are mighty. You are creator. You are love. You are faithful. You are the provider, God. And then our thanksgiving to God and our submission to God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it says, stay alert in this with all perseverance. How do we pray? So when do we pray? At all times. What do we pray? All prayers and requests. How do we pray? In early on in that verse, it says, in the Spirit. And then it says, with all perseverance. In the Spirit. That's the Greek word pneuma, which means the Holy Spirit. So we are to pray in a way that is led by and moved by the Holy Spirit himself. Moved and led by and assisted by the Holy Spirit himself. And who are we to pray for? We pray for all the saints, all believers. Certainly praying for the salvation of all non-believers as well, but praying on behalf of, interceding for all believers. I want to give you a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. When he was at a very low point in his life. And this is taken from his prayer at the kitchen table. He says, I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed out loud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I am here, and he prays, quote, I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. Unquote. At that moment, he says, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up for justice, stand up for strength, and God will be at your side forever. Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything. Martin Luther King Jr. I want to give you four resources that are listed on your handouts as well. Most of these are websites. PrayTheWord.org, PrayTheWord Ministries is founded by Marianne Bridgewater, who's a member of our church. And PrayTheWord.org has resources of prayer guides and prayer journals and prayer books. Examine.me is totally free, and it's a digital journal for keeping a journal of your prayers. And you can go through questions that it asks you of Bible studies and also questions that it asks you of prayers. And one of those takes you through the Lord's Prayer as an example and asks you, how do you want to adore God today? What are you thankful for? What requests do you have? And then, you know, most of the websites, you'll hit a button at the end. It'll say submit or place order or something. This button, it says amen. After you do your prayer, it says, amen. Echoprayer.com is something I use many times every day. It's a prayer journal where you can go in and list your prayer requests, and then it will text you or email you at different times of the day that you set and as a reminder. So three times a day, I have a text that comes in that reminds me to pray for someone or to something or about something involving the church. And I pause for just a minute or two and pray for that item. And then for those of us who feel like life is more meaningful through text, there's a prayer text app. I think this is really important. For extroverts like myself, praying silently has less of an effect for me. Certainly God hears my thoughts, but it has less of an effect for me. Some would say prayer is more for us than for God, right? And so praying out loud has more of an effect or impact on me. So if you text your friends more than you maybe talk to your friends on the phone like me, you may like this app because it may make prayer more intentional for you. You're literally texting your prayers to God, and you say, send prayer. It doesn't go anywhere. Sometimes I wish it went to our church so we can know what people are praying for. But it doesn't go anywhere, and it's just a record of your prayers. Yes. It's just a prayer app on iPhone or Android. Just type in the word pray, and you'll be able to see that. Okay, the third element to shine bright is light in the city. Light in the city, and that is our love. We got these cool flashlights for the people who sit in the front row. So thank you guys for doing that. Shine bright in the city. Let me give you really quickly, we've got 5 minutes left to go. Matthew 5, 10 to 16. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Those who are persecuted, verse 10, those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if that salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So it says in there three important points, and two are very positive. Christians are to be salt, and Christians are to be light. Christians are to be great examples in the world. That's what I thought it meant. And then it says something very sobering. Christians should expect to be persecuted. Or the word that I use to be more relevant and down to earth is Christians can expect to be hurt. We can expect to be hurt, or we can expect to suffer. So first, Christians are to be salt. What does that mean, salt? Salt certainly is seasoning, so Christians are to be good seasoning for the world. But in those ancient biblical times, salt was used more as a preservative. When a piece of meat was going to decay or be molded, that's where they put the salt in, to preserve it. So when your friend or your family member is in decay, or when a community is in decay, when a city is going downhill, Christians are not to escape and form our holy huddle and be lights that get together under a bowl. We are to run in to the corruption. We are to run in to the decay, to be the salt of the earth and to be the light in the world, the light of the earth. Salt of the earth and light in the world. Christians are to suffer persecution. Persecution is not just dying for our faith, even though statistics today say 160,000 people, Christians, die for their faith. They're martyred every year. I thought of martyrdom as just the apostles or in the Roman days of the gladiators. But today, in modern global times, 160,000 die for their faith in Christ. Christians are to be hurt. That's a sobering thought. But in these postmodern times, if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation, your reputation may go down a little bit, even in your company or in your university. If you do what's right, what's righteous, some of your relationships may even be hurt, or personal time of personal gratification or pleasure may be hurt. But we hurt a lot for love. We hurt for to climb ahead in business. We hurt for a lot of things. And why not hurt for Christ? Because he's the one that ultimately hurt on the cross for our sins, to love us and to bring us together with God the Father. So Christians are to be salt, yes. We are to be light. But we can also expect to be hurt or suffer. At the last part of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says God is this and that, God is love, where it says love is this and that, love is kind, love is patient, it says now there is hope, there is faith and hope and love. These three remain. So how do we attain faith? It's from truth. I became a Christian not because somebody was obnoxious and knocked on my door and twisted my arm. I became a Christian because I read God's word, the truth. Faith, and my faith is from God's truth. Hope, where does hope come from? It comes from our prayers. It comes from the power in the city. And then love. Love comes from our Christians' commitment to be salt, to be light, and at times, to be hurt for his glory. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, who is also so at work on earth, we thank you. I thank you for each man and woman here today at High Point Bible Study. May we remember the basic foundational truths in your word to put our faith and trust in your word, to make a commitment to pray more and pray more deeply, and then to be salt, to run into where there are problems, to be light, and to be ready to be persecuted, because you, Jesus, were the most, suffered the ultimate persecution by your death on the cross. And as we think of that, we can look on the other side and claim victory and triumph in Christ, and we will be with you forever in heaven, where there is no hurt and there is no persecution. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming, everyone. Have a great rest of the day.